Support comes from Nicholson, McNamara & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. More information at 1-800-362-1368.
Welcome, everyone, to the award-winning Red Blue Hoops on your WNIN 88.3. Give us a call. The phone lines are open at 812-426-7400 or tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. I am Evan Beck, your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats, and joining me tonight as the voice for the Indiana Hoosiers is Chad Payton. Chad, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Evan. Great to be here again. Excited. It's almost March, my favorite time of the year. So exciting.
Boy, seriously, it's coming on fast, isn't it?
It is. Next week is March.
I mean, some conference tournaments start next week. Isn't that right?
UE, like Missouri Valley. Next week.
Does anybody know what day of the week that tournament starts? Thursday. Yeah. All right. Well, we've got hopefully an exciting show for our listeners tonight. We do have a special guest that's going to tune in or join us in the second segment. And that's Mike Pratt, All-American from UK, who does UK Radio Network. He's the color guy for all the Kentucky basketball games. We're looking forward to having Mike Pratt join us tonight. But to get us started, we're going to cover our most recent games. And Chad, I'm going to kick it over to you and let us know how the Hoosiers have done since last week's show.
They've done real well.
Yes, they have.
We had played Purdue, probably Purdue and Kentucky, our biggest rivals, and had a great game against Purdue. Very exciting. As I talked about last week, good Troy showed up.
Well, he did.
He did. He played well. He actually scored his 1,000th point against Purdue.
And he's a junior?
He's a junior.
That's good.
It is. Very good. He went from he looked like an All-American last week again all of a sudden. So that's really key for Indiana. If he plays well, him and Yogi, they play well, Indiana's got a real good shot to win. As far as statistics go, IU shot 48% from the field and 43% from three.
Whoa.
Hit 12 threes.
Wow.
Which was solid because Purdue leads the conference in defense. So we played really well there. Indiana actually got out to a 19-point lead in the second half. So got a little complacent, got a little tight at the end. Spread was 4. Shockingly, that's what the final score was, 77-73. So a great win.
It was an awesome win.
It was, and a couple stats on that I find funny. Purdue, my Purdue buddies always say, we lead the series total 115 to like 89. So I'd never really done any research on that. So I said, okay, in my lifetime, I don't remember the discrepancy like that. So I went back. Purdue actually in their first 40 years, starting from like 1900 to 1940, went 51-11.
Oh,
against
my.
Indiana. Can you believe that?
Wow.
But I started thinking, that's when peach baskets were still up in the courts. Does that count? Does that really count? If we're playing with peach baskets,
so
it really
counts. So
you're
putting an asterisk on this, is what you're doing.
I'm putting my own asterisk on it.
Yep.
And then, so since then, IU is 78-64 against Purdue. So in my lifetime, post James Naismith,
You're
78-64. So that's pretty solid. And then one last thing on that. Indiana is in position to win potentially their 22nd Big Ten title. And that would tie Purdue for the most Big Ten titles. So if we can get that, I really don't need to hear anything from Purdue anymore because they do not have any banners either.
No, they don't.
National championship
banners.
So great win. And basically now we control our own destiny in the Big Ten. And very exciting. One last thing, Yogi actually had 19 points. I played well.
He did play well that game.
Came out of a little slump and led us to a nice win. Basically, as I led us to a hashtag boiler fail.
Is what I like to throw out there. Hashtag boiler fail.
Hashtag boiler
Walker,
fail.
Yeah. Walker, you may want to put that out on the Twitter account there.
Good week.
I actually watched that game. You guys followed our – I'll get into this more in a minute, but – I was sitting on the couch depressed after the way we lost at Texas A&M. So I watched the whole Purdue-Indiana game, and then I ran to a friend the next day, big IU fan, Charles, and he actually had gone to Indy that day for a family function, and they drove back down to Bloomington, and he said the atmosphere was off the chart. Now, the weather was perfect, so you know how college campuses get.
It was.
When the weather breaks, people are just there. So it's kind of cool to hear from him. He actually went to the game with his family, and it was just, you know, how Assembly Hall gets. Yeah.
It's pretty rowdy.
It is.
They,
Uh-oh, magic pen. We have our first caller on the Red Blue Hoops hotline. We have Steve from Evansville. Steve, welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, I'm super excited. You guys were talking about March. It's coming right around the corner. Been looking at some bracketology predictions, and they've got Indiana, Kentucky, 4-5, 5-4. Wouldn't it be great if they were put in the same bracket? And I wanted to kick this off to you guys. What a matchup that would be, maybe second or third weekend with Euless against Farrell, Calipari against Crean. We got to see if good Troy or bad Troy shows up. But the main question really here is how big of a factor would Thomas Bryant be inside the post in that game? And does Indiana actually have a chance to beat Kentucky? And it kind of seems like Indiana's overachieved a little bit this year and Kentucky somewhat underachieved. That's all I had for you guys.
Good question, Steve. Want me to take that first? You got
that. I did see the bracketology today, 4-5, having this meeting in the second round in the Midwest, I think in Oklahoma City. And I would hate for us to meet that early in the tournament.
Me too.
I'd like for programs of Indiana and Kentucky stature to meet Sweet 16 or later.
I agree.
But I think the brackets are going to shake out a little bit differently where they are now. There's so much movement yet to have happen. But I don't know if Kentucky's fully underachieved yet. We've had three bad losses. We've dealt with several injuries this year. But that matchup would be intriguing. The Euless and Yogi matchup would be awesome.
That's tremendous. Who's Kentucky have in the post, I guess?
Well, we have a collection of people. We got Alex Porthers back from a knee injury. He played against Alabama and did exceptionally well, had 14 points in only 17 minutes.
That's pretty good.
We have shown the ability, as an example, against Alabama. They have two big guys, one that would be similar body type to Bryant, and we completely shut him down. He was a non-factor. So people sometimes forget that Calipari is a excellent defensive coach. So,
On that note too, Thomas Bryant, offensively very skilled, and I like the kid, but he is probably the worst defending center in NCAA Division I basketball. He really struggles moving his feet. So guys like Marcus Lee and Poitras, they could get around him. That would scare me a little bit, but the guard matchup would be tremendous.
I think Lee and Poitras could handle Bryant.
I would agree with
defensively.
That.
So I think that how would Vegas view that game is what I look at right now, and I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, Kentucky's a little bit more highly ranked right now.
I'd say UK -3.
All right. Well, that's a good one right there.
Much I hate to say it.
Well, Steve, we greatly appreciate the call. The phone lines are lighting up. We now have Kim from Wadesville.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Now, is this?
This is her.
This is the Kim?
She's calling in again.
Okay, Evan, I know you're a great Kentucky fan.
Yes, ma'am.
That is an IU fan.
Yep.
How willing would you be to wear the IU jacket out for a while?
Ooh.
Oh, for what? I mean, hold on now. We have to establish some parameters. Why would I be wearing an IU jacket, starters?
Is that like one that we would get for free, or how does that work again? How does that work?
Chad would have to wear – you guys can maybe go out together and you each wear the opposite team.
Mm.
Well – I don't know
how
if
willing
I could,
would you be to do that?
I don't think I could handle it.
I'll buy you one, Evan.
You would? Well, that's nice, but I don't think I could do it.
The tough part for me would be if I wore a Kentucky jacket, you guys wouldn't ever let me come to your house. So that's a tough question for me to answer there.
Hey, well, then I think I'll buy that.
Oh man. Chad, you've been a bad boy this week. I tell you, my wife and our son, Walker, they wouldn't let me in my house with an IU jacket on. And I'll tell you an old prank that happened to me. Years ago, I was in a traffic line heading south on Burkhart, and I saw the reflection in my truck in the vehicle in front of me, and there was a big IU license plate in the front of my truck. Someone had taken my company license plate and replaced it with an IU plate.
That is tremendous.
It had been on there for 3 days.
That's tremendous.
So, I love it.
Kim, do you have anything else for us tonight?
No, you guys are doing great.
Thanks a lot, Mom.
Thanks for the call.
Talk to you soon.
Love you guys.
See you. Bye.
We're going right back to the Red Blue Hoops hotline. We have Geraldine the Cat.
Most frequent caller, right?
That's right. Geraldine, go ahead. Welcome.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Doing well.
Doing
how are
great.
You?
Sounds like you're rocking and rolling. Got special guests and all kinds of stuff going on.
We do.
Night here on Red Blue Hoops on WNIN 88.3.
I'm impressed. That's why you all win the awards, because of all the work you get done.
That's right. There you go.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm glad to hear somebody's having a little fun with Evan's vehicle. That's all.
It's tremendous.
Yeah. I don't want to give people any ideas, but that is a true story.
That's a great story. But I got a quick question for you. I know you all are looking ahead to March Madness coming up, and I did catch the last few minutes of the Texas A&M game. I just want your thoughts on how they handled that overtime situation, because overtime could certainly make the difference in going on or coming home, especially when you get to March Madness. So I was just curious how you thought they handled that overtime and what you might project for the way they might handle any overtimes when they hit the tournament season.
So you're talking about how did Kentucky handle the overtime?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. That's a great question, Geraldine. For starters, 8 minutes before overtime, we lost Derek Willis to a severe ankle injury. And we also had, I think, someone foul out. Or is that not right? Nope, don't know. But so we were a man down going into overtime, and we were also still missing starter Alex Porthras. So we were out two starters at that point. So we're deep into our bench. I thought we handled it really well. We've had some other overtime games this year, so we're tested in close game situations. On the road, a great environment.
Against a desperate team.
Yeah, game. Desperate. Yeah. Again, our second on-the-road game day atmosphere. They had, of course, a white T-shirt whiteout, you know, and they've got the little guys that do the cheerlead thing, the Texas A&M guys.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
They're not cheerleaders, but they're yell leaders, Texas A&M yell
okay.
leaders. So anyway, so the atmosphere was off the charts, but I thought Kentucky handled it well, and I think – to this point in the season, we're very well prepared going into the tournament because, like my brother always said, you never play on the road in the NCAA tournament, ever. So,
very true. Road games are so tough.
But, Geraldine, thank you for the call. Really appreciate it. And we were – before the phone line lit up, thank you, Mr. Berger. That was great. Fun times on the phone. Give us a call, 812-426 or –
tweet us questions or comments at Red Blue Hoops.
That's right. I was going to touch back on Indiana real quick before we cover Kentucky's games. Troy Williams, you mentioned. Good Troy, bad Troy.
Good yeah, absolutely.
And some of the IU guys at work, we got into a discussion a couple of days ago. Will Troy stay or go? And the IU fans' perspective was, well, he really needs to come back and develop more. And I said, yes, but Troy is excellent in the open space, and he showed that against Purdue. I mean, in open space, the guy is unstoppable.
He did. I would agree with that.
He's improved his shot.
He has. His handle is not ready for the NBA. That's a big thing for him. He's not on any draft boards right now.
Not at all.
He was early.
About that. Okay.
What I think for him to rise up the draft boards would be his next 10 games. He leads Indiana to a Final Four, and he scores 15, 20, 25 points a game, like a Serbiak-type deal that year when he just went off to lead Miami.
Yeah,
I don't see that happening. But if it did, his athleticism, he could go in the top 25 maybe, but I don't see it. He needs to come back.
Okay. All right. Good perspective there. Well, since last week's show, I'll quickly recap. Kentucky's competed in three games.
During
a really busy week. We had three games in 6 days, and we've been severely banged up. Like I mentioned, we took on another injury Saturday, so we're even more beat up. But last Thursday, during the show, we were hosting Tennessee, and the game was only a 10-point win, but we got up at 22 at one point in the half. You predicted a 17-point win. I was laughing. We were up 17.
Nostradamus, baby.
You know, that's right.
Yeah.
But so we rolled Tennessee. The one thing I'll say, Derek Willis hit 7 threes in the game. He is now the, I think, fourth native Kentucky basketball player to do that. Travis Ford from my hometown in Madisonville, Cameron Mills from the 98 national championship team, Patrick Sparks from Muhlenberg County, and now Derek Willis. Kind of a neat little story there. But once again, Jamal Murray.
Killing it.
Very efficient 28 points. And then Tyler Ulis, just, I mean, 9 assists. It's just an awesome game. But then we get into Saturday. at Texas A&M. I've already commented on that, what the atmosphere was like. Let's get back to the go back right to where the game got dicey, and that was the technical foul.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay,
yeah.
So we're up one. A&M's got the ball. They drive. They don't take a good shot. Isaac Humphries secures the rebound. He gets fouled out of excitement. He spikes the ball, slams the ball. And I even thought it's an automatic technical, but it's not.
You got the rule, don't you?
I did some research here. Yep. And a Class A unsporting technical infraction is either A or B. A, disrespectfully addressing an official or gesturing in a manner to indicate resentment. Well, so clearly spiking the ball does not guarantee an automatic technical. It's a judgment call. The referee was behind the kid. I hate to see a game decided that's this important to a conference race in that environment, but the kid has to learn from that as well.
He does.
And he has. And I was really proud of how Coach Cal handled it. I was proud with how his teammates handled it. The one I was concerned about was our fan base. Thankfully, they've jumped behind Humphries 100%.
That kid's playing hard.
He is playing hard. He just turned 18. He's young. Real quick, we're going to the line. We have Gary from Evansville. Gary, welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
Yes, hello. One thing I wanted to say about Kentucky was when Coach Cal got kicked out of that game, I just really lit a fire under Kentucky, and I really enjoyed that. Another thing I was thinking, you talked about Indiana a while ago and Yogi and all. How would you like to see a matchup with the University of Evansville Aces with Egidius against Yogi?
That's a great.
That would be a good one,
Gary. That's a great question. I love Egidius. I think he is a pro type player. A lot of folks will tell me that he probably wouldn't score as many in the Big Ten, but that guy can rebound and he can block shots, and he would give Indiana a little bit of problems, especially with Thomas Bryant at center for Indiana. He struggles, so Iggy could make some plays there. Yogi obviously would handle UE because UE doesn't have a real good point guard. Jaylen Brown could guard Yogi, but I think that'd be a great matchup. I'd like to see it. If we saw that game, that means that we're watching the NCAA tournament, so that would be pretty cool. I think to handicap that, IU would probably be a 12-point favorite. But, man, I'd love to see it, and that's a great question.
Gary, thank you so much for the call. Time's flying by, Chad. We've got to go to break. And tell you what, folks, when we come back, the phone lines will be closed as we anticipate having special guest Mike Pratt join us for the second segment. Again, Red Blue Hoops on WNIN 88.3. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support comes from Nicholson, McNamara, and Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. More information at 1-800-362-1368.
All right, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops. We have Chad here, we have Walker here, and this is Evan, and we're hopefully going to get Mike Pratt on the line here real quickly. And while we're waiting for Mike to dial in, going back to that A&M game, again, we lost in overtime. We now have Mike on the phone.
All right, he's
Mike
here.
Mike Pratt. Okay, folks. Mike Pratt, former All-American at Kentucky, played for the legendary Adolph Rupp. Mike is originally from Dayton, Ohio. And he currently teams up with Tom Leach on the UK Radio Network covering my beloved Wildcats. Mike, welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
Thanks, Evan. I appreciate it. And I guess you have a new partner this year, and he's a big Hoosier fan, and that's all good, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. I am very much.
Yeah, Chad Payton, who's legendary, hit three threes in 38 seconds in a high school game here.
I did.
Well, were you playing by yourself, Chad?
Yeah, I guess I kind of was that game, actually. But, yeah, that was pretty people joke about it. They say it was 42 seconds. I always correct them and remind them that it was three threes in 38 seconds.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
Mike, before I get into the meat of the questions, can you tell us a little bit about being from Ohio and your recruitment by Coach Rupp?
Well, you know, back in the day, John Wooden and Adolph Rupp, neither one of them went out and recruited people themselves. And, matter of fact, Danny Crum, who's a good friend of mine, always tells a story. He had to beg John Wooden to go see Bill Walton, and John Wooden never saw Jabbar play. So it kind of tells you where those two guys, coaches, were in that recruiting process, unlike now. But Adolph never saw Itzel or myself play in a game. Joe did all that. He did the legwork, and he recruited. He used to make a swing. He tells the story. He'd either drive to Chicago and see a guy named George Janke, who had a nice career at Dayton, and Itzel or Bo, drive down through and catch Rick Mount, who he was recruiting, come through Dayton and recruit me, and then go back to Lexington, and sometimes would make that reverse that circle. It was all in a car.
Wow, and
that is very cool.
Yeah, and Joe was really responsible from about his first class was a freshman class of 66. Had four guys, and from then on, Joe was the guy until he took over that did all the recruiting of all those teams from that time through when he took over. To include guys along the way from Indiana, a bunch of guys from Indiana. A fellow by the name of Neil Reed.
First fellow that
contacted me. He was up in Dayton when I was a sophomore looking and trying to recruit Bill Hoskett, who ultimately went to Ohio State, played on the 68 Olympic team, a terrific 6'8 shooting forward. And Neil started recruiting me then, and then he left and went someplace, and Joe came in. So, I grew up a Dayton Flyer fan. I like the Cincinnati Bearcats a lot. I like Ohio State. I mean, there's a lot of awfully good basketball back then. And, but when Neil first made contact and later on Joe came and, Joe was just terrific in the house. He was just one of those guys that work. And of course they had rough runs my senior year, which was a team that attracted national attention, nothing like now because it wasn't even like that. But I mean, they went, I think, 25 straight games before they got beat, and that drew a lot of attention.
Sure.
So that's kind of the recruiting process. Coach Rupp would see the guys in Kentucky. He saw Casey play in the state tournament. He would go that far.
That was Mike. Was it Mike Casey?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
He's from Shelbyville, which is just outside of Louisville on the way to Lexington.
That's right.
And it was ironic that I was reading a book about Perry Wallace, who I know, and Perry was the first African-American basketball player in the SEC. He's a guy that broke down all the doors for all the African-American players now, went to Vandy. But I guess Harry Lancaster and Joe Hall recruited him, and his parents never felt, according to what I read in this book, real comfortable because Adolph never saw him play or never came to his house. I got a chuckle out of that because he wasn't a lone ranger in that deal.
That's true.
A lot of the guys that he never set foot. And so it was a different era then. It's a whole lot more. It's just so big now. It dwarfs it. All that recruiting thing almost dwarfs the game.
Right.
If you guys, there's examples at Purdue and Indiana, Louisville, you name it, in Kentucky this year, their example of guys that were overhyped is Cal. And the poor kid never recovered from it. You know, he lost his confidence early, and I don't think he's ever recovered, guys.
And, you know, now touching on Cal, Mike, going back to the Nike Hoop Summit last spring, and he did so well in that environment in front of all those NBA scouts. I mean, he actually outplayed Ben Simmons at that Hoop Summit.
Well, I've read that. And, I worked in the NBA for various teams, player personnel side and coaching side and television side. But you've got to see somebody more than one time against different people.
Sure.
And I don't know what they saw. I mean, this kid is – he could be a really, really good player down the road, but he just doesn't physically. He's not strong enough yet for the college game, let alone the big boys' game upstairs, the next level.
Sure.
He lacks strength from his fingertips to his elbow, and that's where you rebound. That's where you block shots. You know, he lacks that strength there right now, and lower body strength, believe me. In the NBA, they punish you with a lower body.
Sure. Yeah. Yes, they do.
So, So he's got a long way to go. He's a talented young fella.
What?
Can't teach 7 foot, right?
Or no.
You cannot teach that, Chad. You're right. And I would say he's probably made a few threes himself. Not quite as many as you in 42 seconds.
Not many people have. That's 38, Mike. Come on now.
Hey, Mike, I have to say the first time I walked up next to Scal at a game recently, I was surprised by his lack of physical stature. He looks to me like Anthony Davis when I watch him on TV, but when I saw him in person, he's nowhere near Davis physically.
No, he's he's not, Evan, and he's just a tall drink of water.
Yeah.
Just a tall drink of water. And the other thing is he's only been in this country 3 years. The kid's still trying to get acclimated. He didn't speak. He's very, very little English when he came to this country, I understand, I've been told. So he's dealing with that. He's dealing with his confidence, the physicality of the college game, let alone the NBA game.
Sure, absolutely.
It's been a real trying year for the kid. You, in many ways, I feel I got a lot of empathy for him because not just Kentucky fans, but fans everywhere, they have a very short fuse as far as if you're supposed to be good, you better be good right away. They don't give you a whole lot of time to grow into it anymore, do they?
Oh, no. I was getting texts about him mid-December from friends that said he's a bust. I'm like, hold on, let's not call him a bust yet. But yeah, it's microwave society that we live in today. But, well, Mike, with this being a Red Blue Hoops, it's a unique radio format to have two arch rivals sharing radio waves together. When I'm in and around Evansville, the two questions I get are, what about Tom Crean? But then more so, when will Kentucky and Indiana play in the regular season again?
Great question.
So you were at the last game we played in Bloomington in 2011. Mm-hmm. That was our national title team. Can you shed some light on what happened from that game going forward that caused the series to dissolve? And then do you think the series will be rekindled going forward?
Well, I think the venom that was spewed from not all of the fans, but some of the fans up there really aggravated Calipari and aggravated the people in the administration. I don't think there was ever an apology about it. So, I mean, it was really rough. I mean, they were cursing and hollering at Tom and I, and they had no idea who we were except that we had a blue jacket on. We didn't have anything red on,
Yeah.
And I've never seen that. I've been to numerous games up there in Bloomington over the years, but I've never seen a team that, a fan base. The kids on their team were fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with those guys. They played their hearts out, and one kid hit a shot, and they won. I mean, it was special from their part.
It was.
But the fans were just so venomous. I mean, just it was like, man, you could have looked up and you'd see people drooling.
You're right. I remember seeing the look of Assembly Hall, and it was rowdy up there.
Yeah, it was. And I think that Calipari just decided he wasn't going to go back up there. And I do know that they put offers on the table to play up in Indianapolis. See, Kentucky's got a contract to play on CBS. I think it's two of the three Saturdays in December, and they want Kentucky on television. And Louisville shakes out on a Saturday. North Carolina would shake out on a Saturday, and they now are involved in that rotating deal. Next year's in Vegas. We play North Carolina on a Saturday. I mean, that's part of the deal. So Indiana would have been a good fit on a Saturday, and Calipari offered to play up in Indianapolis twice and then go home and home, and it was turned down. And Crean said, all I want is home and home. I don't want to play in Indianapolis. Don't want to split the gate. So I think Calipari doesn't care. He's moving on. Scheduled UCLA. They've got a couple other people that will be interesting when they add them for the next couple of years, home and home. I think it's dead right now as long as Crean's coaching and Calipari's coaching. I think it's dead.
That's interesting. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well,
I think it's dead.
Like this year, we traveled to Kansas. I mean, you can't find a tougher place to play in the world than Kansas, that's for sure.
Yeah.
No. Let me tell you something, guys. That place was rocking. I mean, it had a low ceiling, okay? It's not like Assembly Hall or up with the high ceilings. And it had a low ceiling like the old Coliseum. And that noise went up and bounced back on top of you. It was unbelievable in there. I mean, just the noise level. And the noise level in Bloomington that day was loud, too. Don't get me wrong. But you have a higher ceiling, the acoustics, you know. I mean, yeah. It comes right back down. And these Kansas folks, there wasn't anybody spitting on the players. There wasn't anybody giving them the bird. There wasn't anybody cussing them. That was 15,000 people that were intent. They didn't want anything to do with Kentucky or lose to Kentucky. But there was none of that stuff that I saw in Bloomington. And, Kansas will probably come back here in the very near future to Lexington. They'll play, as part of that Big 12 SEC
right.
challenge. They'll play in there, and it'll be fine. I played in the very first game when it got restarted in December of 69. Indiana came to Lexington. Then next year they went back up there and they played for how many years? So I would like to see him play. But I just don't see where these two guys can get together and work out, just my guess, their differences on where it's played, when it's played, et cetera.
Well, I appreciate those comments very much. Yeah. Excellent insight, Mike. And again, we get the question all the time, and I actually have spoken to an IU trustee that was going to talk to Fred Glass about it here just a month ago. But maybe one day, or we can meet in the tournament this year potentially.
There you go. Houston.
Speaking of the tournament.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
One of the brackets, bracketology that came out, guys, was Indiana was a 5 and Kentucky was a 4.
Yeah.
And they would have played, in the second or third game
yes.
of the tournament.
We don't want to see that.
Yeah, I'd like to meet them in the Sweet 16.
I mean, look, you guys have that freshman kid that's a bear inside. I like him a lot.
Bryant.
I can't think of his name yet. Bryant, yeah. He's pretty tag on.
He's talented good. Offensively, he's yeah.
Yeah, he is, but man, he plays hard and he throws his weight around.
Mm-hmm.
But you're a perimeter-oriented team, and we're a perimeter-oriented team, okay? It would be a good battle.
It would.
It would be a good battle. But we get hurt, Chad, and when we play people that, and Evan knows this, he sees games, when we got people that are physical against us, big guys bang and knock, we become a donut team.
Right.
Okay? But if we can play with somebody that's a finesse team, we're okay. We're fine.
It could be like a 95-93 final or something.
Yeah.
A lot of points scored. Yeah. And
how about the last time we played in the NCAA? Was that high enough score?
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier.
102-90, I think. Well, speaking of March Madness, Mike, give me your assessment of the current status of Kentucky as we are heading into March.
Well, it's hard, Evan, to get a feel for them. And Tom and I talked about this either before or after the game Tuesday night because of the injuries. Alex looked like he came back and was pumped to play, rested, and played his buns off, okay? He really did a nice job. Now, I don't know if Alex can sustain that. Marcus Lee now is pretty healthy. But the real question mark is when will Willis come back?
Mm-hmm.
And how will he be? This kid was worn out. I mean, just flat worn out. And I will just let me pull up on my iPad here, guys. I'm in my office. And I'll give you Willis's numbers, why he's worn out. I think this is pretty interesting here about his minutes played. And I got this from the office, SID office up there. And, he played. Yeah, I can't pull the daggone thing up. Here you go. As his first 2 years, he played a grand total of 114 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. His junior year now, he's played 485 minutes already.
Wow.
The last in November, December, he played 134. Last 11 games through until up to Alabama, he played 295.
Wow.
Okay. So he's backloaded to say the least. He was tired. He came out.
I saw your interview. You guys do that live stream after the game now.
Yep.
And
yep.
He was sitting next to you, and he looked horrible. I mean, he was wrapped up with ice on his knees, his back, and
yep.
Yeah, he looked tired that night.
And maybe this break will do him good. He came out and he sat down,
I said, well, you look like you got a bunch of ice on, man. What's the deal? He says, I feel like I'm 80 years old. I wanted to tell him, you feel just like I do when I get out of bed.
Yeah.
But I didn't say anything. But the question is, he does so much as far as forcing a team to defend him, give you one more shooter, and how that affects everybody else. It just kind of unlocks the lane.
Oh, yeah.
With the defenders. So
yeah.
When he comes back, how's it going to affect his running? How's it going to affect his jump shot? Because you shoot your jump shot with your legs.
Absolutely.
If your ankle's bad, you don't get the push.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't have a good feel. I thought we were trending in the right direction if we don't have that injury to him. And then, of course, prior to that, the injury to Alex. But, you know, they're a tough bunch of guys, and yeah. They just keep battling. They'll battle you now.
Oh, there's no question about it. What about a little bit – off of basketball, again, our listeners are Indiana and Kentucky fans, but Mike, can you tell our listeners anything about Coach Cal that we may not know that you may think would be interesting?
Well, you know, one thing I think, I don't know if everybody knows it, but he loves Dunkin' Donut coffee, which I'm a fan of too. But when we travel, I first stumbled onto that when I was coaching and working up back east and for basketball, going back east. Of course, he coached at UMass and from Pittsburgh. He's a big Dunkin' Donut guy, so he has a manager go out every morning when we're on the road, find a Dunkin' Donut place and bring him back a coffee.
All right.
And so he never passes a Dunkin' Donut. And the other thing about Cal, two things. One is that he loves to eat. That boy can eat. I'm telling you.
Now he's a carnivore, right?
He's what?
A carnivore. He loves meat.
Oh, yeah. He eat pizzas and meat. He'll eat
steaks.
He'll eat any time of the day, you know. And then he'll lose weight in the spring. But but in all seriousness, now, there's one thing about John Calipari, and I'll tell you this as a compliment to him, and it's so true. He's part carnival barker, as all college coaches are. But he's part Father Flanagan. He cares about his kids. I mean,
yeah, I can
he
see
cares
that.
About them. When they're gone, they come back. His guys from UMass all showed up when he went into the Hall of Fame guys. And, you know, he truly is a Father Flanagan. He loves those kids, takes them on as sons. And some people may think that's, when they listen to him, that's all BS. That's not BS. That's the real Calipari.
That's great. Mike Chad here. I have one question for you, please. I was just going to tell you, too, congratulations on all your success to all my UK buddies. Say you do an awesome job on the radio. So that's always cool to hear.
Thank you, Chad.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I was just looking. Can you just talk about your experience? You made the Final Four coaching, didn't you, in like 1977?
Yep.
Is that accurate?
That's correct. Yep.
Can you just talk a little bit about that? To me, that looks like the most exciting time a kid or a coach could have, being in the Final Four. And you just kind of talk about some of those experiences and how that went for you.
Well, yeah, I went down to Charlotte as assistant to Lee Rose, and Lee had recruited me to Cincinnati, and he had a terrific career at Transylvania. I got to know him in the summer basketball camps around Lexington, and so he gave me my first job. And the second year we were there, we had Cedric Cornbread Maxwell, the Celtics
nice.
Fame. Yeah, and we had Chad Kinch, a freshman guard, that later on was drafted by Cleveland. We had a really good team, some kids in North Carolina that nobody wanted, or very few teams wanted, let's put it that way. Maxwell was offered a scholarship by North Carolina A&T, and I think it was a one-year deal. And when we came down there the year before as a sophomore, he averaged 4 points. When he left, he was Cornbread Maxwell and was averaging 21.
Wow, very nice.
Coach Rose changed the offense, and we had a point guard by the name of Melvin Watkins, who's the associate head coach at Arkansas now. He's had a couple jobs. One of them was Charlotte, did really well, made a mistake, and went to Texas A&M about 6 years too soon. But he was our point guard, and no one thought we'd get there. Kentucky beat us the year before in the NIT Finals, and we were one of the last teams invited to the NIT. That's when 16 teams and 32 went to the NCAA.
A lot smaller back then.
Went to the NIT. A lot smaller. So you were playing, in essence, about half of the team in a tournament with half the teams that go to one now, and you were two. So We had a lot of success. People didn't think that we could get to the Final Four, but we did. And these guys, they get together, and I haven't had the chance to get to a lot of those gatherings. But, you know, they just – it was such a thrill for that to happen. And, you know, we used to – Lee and Everett Bass, the other sits and I used to talk that, you know, this is something that's unbelievable. And Lee always said you can't expect this to happen all the time. So he goes to Purdue, and they give me the job at Charlotte when he left. And I really wanted to go with him. I didn't really think I was ready, but they said, well, you recruited some of these kids, yada, yada. And I ended up with a winning record. I had one bad season where my my best scorer, my leading scorer, broke his jaw and was out. And my center then flunked out. So I was struggling that year. But Lee goes to Purdue, and what's he do? He takes a team to the Final Four up there with Joe Barry Carroll.
1980.
Yeah. So he and Everett got to go back again, which was great for them because they're really, really good people. I mean, special people. And that was an amazing time. UNC Charlotte was looked down on by Carolina State, Wake, Duke.
Right.
You know, and you just – we spent a lot of time in state cars recruiting. You know, we didn't fly places. And the funniest thing was we'd go back east to the Catholic schools in Jersey and Pennsylvania, places like that. And they would – you make contact, they would – you say, well, University of North Carolina at Charlotte. They go, oh, Carolina. How are you? No.
You know,
had to change that, but it was – it was in Atlanta at the old Omni, and it was in that. Well, we played Alma Choir, and then Marquette, and then Carolina played UNLV, and of course that's when Al won on that toss the full length of the floor. And then he beat Carolina in the championship.
That's right.
There were all kinds of pros on all four teams. I mean, there must have been 8 to 10 guys off those four teams.
Wow.
That played the pros. Yeah. And we had two. Carolina had four. Vegas had 3 or 4. And I think Al had 2 or something like that.
That's right.
It was an amazing, amazing number of players on that that ball club. Butch Lee was – and I can't think of the big guy. But one of the big guys that Butch Lee played for Marquette. We had Kitch, the guard, and, we had Cornbread and Maxwell. But it was quite a thrill. It was quite a thrill.
That's an awesome story. Well,
that is
fantastic. Love hearing that.
Well, Mike, we are heading to break. We greatly appreciate you taking the time to call in to be a guest here on Red Blue Hoops, and I look forward to seeing you in Lexington for the LSU game coming up next weekend.
That's good, Evan. I look forward to it. And, Chad, good to you. Take care of him now. Keep him straight. Right?
I'm going to try.
Hey, also, good luck this weekend in Nashville. It's going to be tough down there.
Oh, man, it is going to be tough. So we'll see what happens. We got 3 tough games left, 2 on the road, 1 at home. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, thanks again, Mike.
Thank you, Mike, very much.
Okay, guys. See you now.
See ya.
All right. We'll take a quick commercial break. Be right back. Red Blue Hoops. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support comes from Nicholson, McNamara, and Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. More information at 1-800-362-1368.
All right, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops. Chad, as a basketball junkie, that was awesome.
That was tremendous. Mike had a lot of great stories to tell, didn't he?
I tell you, he really does. And since I've gotten to know him over the last 9 seasons, he's, for starters, he's a gentleman. And he's always very welcoming for you to come up and talk to him at games. He'll take time out of his schedule. And we really appreciate him taking the time to call into our unique radio show here on WNIN.
It is.
So, well, folks, that chewed up a lot of time. So we're going to jump in. We have some exciting upcoming games. In fact, like in an hour.
I'm nervous. I've been nervous this whole show.
Uh-oh, you're on the road tonight?
At Illinois.
Uh-oh.
The Orange Crush. And last week, I said the game that scared me the most was at Illinois. And a lot riding on it with just a lot going on. And I'm just nervous about the game. And Indiana's in a great position with a win tonight, can really take hold of the Big Ten. Iowa and Maryland have tough games coming up. So if Indiana can take care of business, 13-3 in the Big Ten, we'd be in really great shape. But I'm really nervous, excited to go home and watch it, though.
But I just saw on, I think, Twitter or somewhere, just when Mike was talking, you guys are favored by 7.5.
I did see that, yeah. Yep.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
That's a pretty good line, but makes me nervous.
And what channel is that on tonight?
ESPN.
ESPN, all right.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, then what do you have coming up?
We play at Iowa on Tuesday.
Okay, so Thursday, Tuesday. So no weekend game.
There is no weekend game. I think that last week I said there was, but no. Iowa Tuesday and then Maryland next Sunday. I really think Iowa and Maryland could lose. Maryland plays at Purdue Saturday, and Iowa plays at Ohio State as well over the weekend. IU takes care of business tonight. I have a great feeling that those two teams are going to get beat, Iowa and Maryland, and IU, Indiana University, Hoosiers.
That's right.
Could be two games ahead of the field going into Monday. That would be huge.
That would be. I'm envious of you guys getting all that time off. I mean,
that does help.
We're dragging right now physically. But so, good luck tonight.
Thank you. You guys got a lot coming up
too,
don't you?
We go on the road this Saturday to Vanderbilt. And everybody knows how unique that place is, Memorial Coliseum, and it's like playing in a four-sided theater. I've been to a couple games in there. Actually, I played some rec hoop down there on that court and almost got into a little bit of an altercation with a crew of ROTC guys. There were three of us and a girl playing against four ROTC guys, and we were beating them.
Yeah.
This girl was I think she played in college or something like that, and they didn't like that very much. But anyway, on the road at Vanderbilt this weekend on CBS, it's a 3:00 tip, and Vanderbilt's on fire. They've won 6 of 7. The one loss in that string, they were up 17 on Mississippi State and let that game slip away. And Vanderbilt just destroyed Florida the other night at Florida. So,
and a guy hit an 80-foot shot that went the trajectory of that shot. It didn't even go.
Looked like a putt rolling across a golf green. It went in the hole.
It did. Crazy.
So I'm nervous as you know what this Saturday, and then, heck, we turn around and we're back on the road Tuesday night at Florida. So we've got two brutal road games coming up, and so that's what we got on the tap for UK, and we'll see how we do. You know, we've had some struggles on the road this year, but I think we are a much better road team today than we were, let's say, a month ago. We're much more seasoned. I'm loving our guard play, Chad.
They're on fire, aren't they?
And they are. And for the UK fans, or Indiana fans for that matter, we need to take a pause and realize and appreciate what we're watching with Tyler Ulis and Jamal Murray. You may not pay as close attention to the stats as I do, but this is a historical season for guard play at UK. And if Tyler Ulis stays on his current trajectory, he will end the season as potentially the greatest point guard in UK history. Statistically, so it's hard to argue against
that. It says a lot, doesn't it?
It does, and we've been going back through decades and trying to pick the best combo of guards in UK history. And right now, like under Calipari, I think we may have touched this last week, but they're better than Wall and Bledsoe were. I mean, it's actually not even close, statistically. I mean, Jamal Murray this month, Chad, since you're such a great shooter, he's on fire. He's averaging over 25 a game. He's shooting 49% from the three-point line, which is leading the nation in the month of February. Just absolutely, he's getting so much better with decision making, his understanding of space, and I think you commented off the air his connectivity with Ulis.
Huge.
And they're reading each other without seeing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so with those two guys, I'm excited about March because you know there's no road games, and guards in March, man, they can lead you
that's where it happens.
To greatness. So. Tell you what, folks, this show has flown by. I think we're down to the 3-minute warning. So, with that, Chad, let's talk a little bit about U of E basketball for our local listeners.
Yes, sir. I've been on a nice little run. UE is up to 23-7, won four games in a row, 3 of 4 on the road. They were favored in all the games, but any road win is huge, and they took care of business, so it's very exciting. Sets up a big matchup Saturday at the Ford Center, 1:00 tip against Northern Iowa, trying to repay those guys back from a 3-point loss in early January. And just a reminder to the fans locally, watching some great seniors for UE.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to it's Egidius to me. I don't know how to exactly pronounce his last name. I call him Iggy. Everybody else does, too.
Let's go with Iggy.
Iggy is the all-time leader at UE in rebounds and block shots. And then DJ Ballantyne is the all-time leading scorer. And Adam Wing is just a great glue guy, great player to watch, too.
Perfect
great senior class.
Perfect description, glue guy.
It is. And get out and see those guys because I think they can win Saturday 24-7. It'll put them in the number two seed in the Valley. And maybe they can make a run and get into the tournament and play the Hoosiers or Kentucky
they
or
could.
Something. How cool would that
That'd
be?
That'd be awesome for Marty Simmons and his Aces program.
It would. Be huge.
Well, USI is at home tonight. It's actually senior night, and they're recognizing Travis Britt and local Shane Senior, a former Castle Knight, out at the
That's
PAC.
Right.
That's at 7:30. They are hosting Bellarmine. And a couple of quick notes. We're down to a minute and a half. We touch on every week the RBH index. Again, we're trademarking that here at WIN. Steve doesn't know that yet. He's back there looking at me like I'm crazy. But the RBH index, give you an update, Indiana's currently at 20.5, and Kentucky is at 10.75. And tell you what, folks, these last 2 weeks, I think Indiana can really improve their ranking if they take care of business. And obviously Kentucky playing on the road can really really boost their ranking. So,
two quick facts on IU I dug into. Indiana has won 17 of their last 19 against ranked opponents at Assembly Hall.
Oh my.
So now we're up to beating the dream team of 92.
You are. Yeah, you guys are going. That's amazing. That's pretty cool.
Absolutely. And then Indiana, too, could win their second Big Ten title in 4 years. Haven't done that since 1989 to 93.
No, just think about how much disarray the fan base was in just a month ago about Kareem.
It's crazy.
And now he's on the precipice of winning a Big Ten title.
He really is. He really is. Good for him.
Well, a little bit of news I found out today that I don't like at all.
Uh-oh.
CBS has made a decision for Selection Sunday to go to a
two-hour
show.
I did see
what
that.
What the? Are you serious?
Ratings, man, commercials.
Money, money,
money,
money.
Absolutely.
Wow. Chad, I tell you what, this has been a great show. Steve, Maria filling in for Samantha, you've done an awesome job. Walker, our intern's done well tonight.
Again.
Hey, it's been a great show. Come back next week. Red Blue Hoops, go Big Blue.
Support comes from Nicholson, McNamara, and Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. More information at 1-800-362-1368. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel with producer Steve Berger, technical director Samantha Horton, and Walker Beck handling social media. Thanks for listening. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of WNIN, its board of directors, or staff. Or, for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, Notre Dame fans, Louisville fans, USI fans, and certainly not Duke fans.